Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or Elijah, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Would you lead us in a prayer, Hazel?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have taken care of us and been with us in situations that we didn't know how we were going to make it. We thank you for your word. Father, may we all in our hearts not leave here today until we know who Jesus is. Thank you for that question that's being asked. Be with us. Everything settled on.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is one of those messages that blesses my heart. Put it in the other pocket. It was my first year in college, second or third time I ever spoke. I spoke to about 20, 25 students on a Thursday morning at our chapel service that week, and I talked about an identity crisis I was having. I talked about a friend of mine who I was working with the sermon on. He was a pre-theological student just like I was. And I was just frustrated because someone had asked me, "Who are you?" I didn't have an answer. I said, "Well, you know, I'm the son of my father and my mother. I'm John." And they say, "Yeah, not what's your name, not who's your parents. Who are you?" That's not a fair question, is it? If I asked you today, "Who are you?" What would you say? What would you say? "Well, you know, I used to be this. I'm an iron worker. You know, I'm a preacher. I'm a piano tuner. I'm a wannabe something or other. You know, what am I?" How do you answer that? I was stymied. I knew about this, preaching this sermon for months. And I worked on it, and I worked on it, and I worked on it. I still couldn't figure it out. And my friend came into the room one day. I was washing clothes. It's about the 10th time in my life I'd ever done it. First time I ever washed was my first week in college. Did not know how to wash. They said, "The washing is free." And I said, "Good." And I thought they did it. Did not know I did it. Didn't know how to do it. And they said, "Well, first of all, you have to buy soap." I said, "That's the tricky part." I knew that. And bounce. And I still use soap and bounce. Strange. Now that never changes. But I was doing my laundry, and my pre-theological friend came into the room that day, and I said, "You know, I'm really stuck. I got to preach real soon, and I'm stuck." He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know who I am." He said, "You know, that can be painful to not have an identity. A face without a name, a life with this uncertain direction, floundering." And he looked at me and said, "You're a child of God." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, that's what you are. Everything else comes after that." I said, "Oh, okay. I think I understand. I think I got this now." But what I told the college student assembly that day of about 25 was, I didn't know that was visible in me. See, we like to claim what we know about ourselves as our identity. Because we don't step outside of our framework of reference to say, well, this is me. Unless we've experienced it and know it for ourselves, we don't claim it, per se. I can never, ever say, I'm an iron steel mill worker, you know, and I work with molten ore. I can't do that because I've never done that. I can't claim that's who I am. Even if I was created to do that, I can't claim that because I don't know anything about it. I'm an iron worker. My hands haven't got calluses to be an iron worker. Are you kidding? People say, you know, you can tell by looking at someone's hand what kind of work they do. If they're soft or if they got calluses, different types of things. Guitar players have real bad calluses and no fingernails on the left hand, and on the right hand they might have a bunch. But that's the way it is. You can tell a lot by someone. Someone who's got calloused hands, you know they've probably worked a lot with their hands in some heavy duty work. So you can tell. But I don't have that kind of hands. I have softer hands. And people say, you got soft hands. I say, that's because I do soft work. I don't know how else to say that. Bakers have soft hands. If you ever take a look at a baker's hands, because they handle dough, and they're very soft. You don't know if you know that or not. But anyway, so you don't identify with what you don't know, is what I'm trying to say. Even if it's true about you, and it is your identity, if you don't know it, you can't really say it is. You can't own it for yourself. And when he told me that, I said, oh, that's right, I am. I gave my life to God. I am his child. And that's what I preached that day. And I wrote up what I wrote as a sermon. I turned it into school paper, and they splashed it all over the second page headline, Identity Crisis Solved. It was a letter to the editor, believe it or not. So it became. They edited it, they trimmed it down to just a full page, front page, inside page of a newspaper half size. I mean, it was half of a full page of our Columbus Dispatch, like the size of the inside of one page of the packet. That's how much I wrote was in that paper. They cut it down to that. That's how much of an identity crisis I had, because I didn't know how to get to it. But I finally solved it at the end, saying, I belong to God, I don't know anything else to say, and I quit. But things have changed since then. And praise God they have. What is your answer? Again, I ask you, who are you? Don't tell me your name. Don't tell me where you're from. Don't tell me how much money you make. Don't tell me where you live. Don't tell me your parents. Don't tell me the color of your hair. Don't tell me I'm a man, I'm a woman. Tell me who you are. When all that stuff's gone, what do you got left? It's a good question. And when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? When all the outside trimmings are gone, what is at my core? Who am I? And they said, some said John the Baptist. Some said Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say one of the other prophets. Because everybody has an idea about who you are, whether it's right or wrong. That's scary, isn't it? But everybody has an idea of who you are. They got a good notion, and it's probably a lot different than you see yourself, whether you like it or not. You want to change their idea, change the way you act toward them. It'll change. Still may not be accurate, but it'll change. But Jesus looks at the disciples. This is a private conversation he's having with them, and he says, who do you say I am? When you take off the stereotypes of Jesus being white, good-looking man, 30 years old, and you get away from that, I've never seen a white Jew, by the way. I never have. If you have, please show me one. He was olive-skinned, kind of Mediterranean-looking. Looked a lot like some of them terrorist folks, but he was uglier. Scripture even says he was not attractive. He's not a good-looking Savior. But when you get away from all that, When you get away from all the stereotypes of that he was totally embodied love and he's totally the Son of God and totally this, and you get rid of all that, what do you got left? Who is he to you? How do you experience Jesus Christ? That question's answer will change your life. Who do you say he is? Islamic people say he was a prophet. The Jews say he was some guy causing trouble. May have been a prophet, but he certainly wasn't the Son of God. Latter-day Saints, I talked to one of them, and they said, well, Jesus Christ, he is not God. He's his son, but he's not God. So he's not endued with all the divine power. But he is God's son. So he's second in command up there in the heaven, you know. That's who he is to them. Some people keep him on the cross. Some people pull him off. Some people don't even think he ever went. Some people think he died. Some people think he was buried and they moved the body. Now, everybody has an answer about Jesus. There is nobody that doesn't talk about him. They either say he wasn't who everybody says he is or something, but they have an opinion about him. 20 years from now, they probably won't talk about Elvis that much, I hope. But they'll still be talking about this man called Jesus. Because he changed history. You see, to know who Jesus really is a matter of faith. And that's what's scary, because when Jesus calls us, we don't know him. We know about him. We don't know who he is, really. He has to reveal himself to us as who he really is. Think of it this way. If you've come to a relationship with him, you know that at one time in your life, you didn't know how wonderful he was and how wonderful he is for you in your life. But now you do. And each day, it gets sweeter and sweeter. He doesn't judge us. He rather saves us from condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful, isn't it? To know that he's a friend. Some people call him a friend. Who is Jesus to you? Every time I come before the Lord in prayer, I learn something new about him. Every time. Every time I come into communion with him, there's something else that he brings to my attention. Something about himself, something about the relationship that he calls me into, that he calls us into. Something, he always brings that to light. I want to share with you something that happened a long time ago. And I want to share with you why this time of celebration in our Lord's Supper is really powerful. I had an insight this week into communion through something that the Lord did for me personally. I want to share with you something a little personal, but it's okay. It's not scary. For all my life, as far back as I can remember, even when I was a little in grade school, a little kid in grade school, all my life, as far as I can remember, I fought a mild depression. I didn't know that it was unnatural. And over the last 2 weeks, I said, Lord, what's the deal with this? For some reason, I'm feeling a little depressed. There's nothing going wrong. Everything's okay. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I don't like it? And sometimes we have these feelings in our lives and we just kind of dismiss them as normal. It's the, well, that's how I am. And I said, Lord, this is not normal. Not everybody runs around feeling mildly depressed every now and then. And I said, well, let me think when this started. And I said, maybe it started when I was in, you know, seminary. I said, no, I remember a time in college. And I said, I remember a time in high school. And I said, no, I remember a time in grade school. I used to when I was a little kid. I say little, I was about 4 foot tall. I would lay in my bed every night and I'd say, God, who really loves me? Who really loves me? My friends, if I died today, you know, who would come to my funeral and really care? You ever do that? Feel sorry for yourself? I was so good at it, I had it down to a science. I could even get this, who's going to care at my funeral thing during the day? I could walk around school feeling sorry for myself and no one would know about me. I was good at it. It was natural. So imagine my surprise this week when I asked the Lord, is this removable? And He said, yes. I said, it is. I've known about it since before grade school. And He showed me a memory. He brought something to my mind on Thursday. And He said, I brought this to your mind today because we're going to deal with it on Friday. Don't ask me why He did that. Don't ask me how He does that. But He said, we're dealing with this Friday. And I said, Lord, You do whatever You need. I'm tired of this. I didn't know it wasn't natural. Now that I know, let's get the surgeon out and let's pull this mess out and let's get rid of it. I don't know about you, but bad self-esteem, depression, guilt, these are not things that belong in the kingdom of God. Hatred, unloving feelings, those don't belong in the kingdom of God. We got to bring them before God and say, God, what's the root and cause of this? Remove it so I can live for You with my full being of joy. Let me be alive for You. And that's what I was praying. I said, I got down on my face before the Lord Friday, and I did Thursday too. I said, Lord, I don't know what this is, but whatever it is, get rid of it. And He brought this attention to my mind of an event. I was 3 years old. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm going to share with you this little memory and what happened. Little memory. About 5 minutes long, an event. When I was 3 years old, I had a favorite toy. It was a little Volkswagen bus about that long. Doors opened on it. The back opened, the side door slid, just like the real thing. Seats flipped up and down, and steering wheel moved a little, and the wheels rolled. I loved it. My parents drove one. I was in love with this thing. And the neighborhood kids stole it. Took it right away from me. I went to my mother. I said, Mom, you know that bus? She says, yeah. I said, kid next door took it. Actually, the kid two doors down. I was living in Chicago at the time. I remember this. And she said, no, you just lost it somewhere. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, you know that bus of mine? He says, I remember that bus, yeah. I said, Dad, neighborhood kid took it. He said, you probably just misplaced it. He wouldn't take that. And that was the end of the memory. That's all I remembered. But I remember, after they told me that, that I went to my room and I cried. Can you believe an event like that would paralyze a life with mild depression for 35 years? And I said, Lord, what's going on here? That's it, but why? And He said, because your parents didn't recognize that this was important to you. They didn't know the significance. And I said, Lord, we'll heal it. And He said, I don't know what You can do. Heal it. Get rid of it because I know this is it. You've shown me. Let's do something about it. And I said, Lord, show me your power in this. And I was so upset. And I went back to the memory and I was grieving over this little Volkswagen bus. He said, I think I'll go to Walmart and I'll buy one. And I said, no, that won't work. It won't be the same one. And I realized, you know, maybe my parents could have struck a deal with that kid and bought him a new one and given me my old one. Even if he had already tore it up and beat it up, at least I'd have it back because it's mine. Right? You understand the power in this thing, don't you? Little bitty memory, a lot of power. I mean, if it's harbored inside you for 35 years or longer, it will do that. It will generate power. Now get this. So I thought, well, if we could have just struck a deal, and I imagined, you know, my parents saying, we'll strike a deal, we'll get yours back, and it'll be all right. And I tried that, and I was still just as upset. And I stood up. Don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do. This is paralyzing me in a way I don't understand. What can I do? Walked back and forth a couple times. And all of a sudden, most beautiful thing happened in the world. I'll never forget this. The Lord simply said, I would die to get you that back. I fell apart. I would die for you to have that back, but I can't. And then all of a sudden, a part of me said, you care. You care. That's all that matters, is that you validated my hurt. That you validated my pain. That you love me in it. That you love me enough to say I'll do whatever it takes. And I said, I don't need it back. I just need to know someone understood that I hurt. And peace came. I cannot explain to you how nice it is to have every last bit of that mild depression gone. I cannot explain to you what it's like to try and go back to it and it be foreign. But I can tell you who Jesus is. He cares for me. He loves me. He enters into my pain and would do whatever it takes, even die, to ease it. Tell me that communion when he says, this is my body. I'll break it for you that you might have freedom. I'll pour out my blood. If sin is the problem, I'll get rid of it through my blood. Tell me that when Jesus Christ says this to me and he says it to you, that there isn't something that doesn't click within us and say, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that the abuses in my life, although maybe not intentional, maybe they were, that you understand. That you would break your body to do whatever it takes to heal me of that hurt. And he says, just pour it out before me here. Because I'm bearing on my body the marks of your death. What destroyed your life, I will bear on my body and give you my life and my yoke, which is easy. I want you to know something. I now think about that event. It's only been 2 days. Actually, less than 2 days. That the Lord finally did that. But I now go back in my mind to that event. And do you know what I think about it now? I think this is a pathway to peace. That God may have used this to heal others. To show me things that I needed to understand others better. But I know this. Who I am is loved by Christ Jesus completely and set free in His name. Who He is my best friend, who would do anything for me, including honor what no one else knew how. He invites us to a table of His body and blood. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before You, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that You pour out Your Spirit upon us gathered here, and upon these gifts of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that they would be for us indeed no longer bread and fruit of the grape, but the body and blood of Christ Jesus. That when we partake, we find the strength of Christ Jesus within us, moving through us, healing the places in our lives, saying, yes, I understand that no one can understand or touch the pain or take it away, but it's real. And there's a place where you can come to someone who would do anything to bear that for you. Lord Jesus, thank You for the healing You've put in my life. Thank You so much that I can come joyous before Your throne and receive all You have without fear of rejection, without fear of any consequence other than to be loved. Thank You because You knew I needed that. Thank You because we all need that, and You provide to us everything we need. Amen. As we partake today, I simply have just one thing to say. If Jesus Christ is real to you, this changes from bread to the body, from the fruit of the grape juice, to the blood of Christ, when He's real to you, and it's healing to your life. I invite you to come as you feel led by the Lord to partake.